it seems to me that, you know, no matter how much we consult and so on, it's going to stay a political landmine. And therefore, we should really seriously, I would think, consider, you know, some kind of a compromise, if not a 12th language, then maybe just referring to Sepedi strokes as to Salibo or something like that in the Constitution. But it seems to me that, you know, as much as we need to consult and also properly engage the people who came here today, it's going to be a very controversial decision whichever way we go if we don't find a compromise.
Yeah, that's a reality.
Just as a last comment, we need to just bear in mind if our concern is if we raise Sesotho Sa-Leboa to a 12th language, then we'll have a lot of other languages. But the crux and the key is that it is already in the other translations.
Yes.
That is the key point. It's in the other translations, so it is already there.
Yeah.
And I think that is the very clear answer to it, because it's there. We're just giving it its proper recognition in the English text. And I think that is something we can deliberate on. So that excludes other languages saying, you're treating us unfairly. It's already in the other texts. Thank you, Chair.
It's a very important point.
But I also think these languages are clearly related. Obviously, they're related, Sepedi and Sesotho Sa-Leboa. Sepedi is... It seemed to me to be a dialect that there's general consensus that Sepedi is, I don't know whether there is consensus on this, but that it's a dialect of Sesotho Sa-Leboa. So in that sense, I don't think we should even consider including a 12th language, but you know, rather referring to it as, let's say, Sepedi strokes Sesotho Sa-Leboa. I suppose we're going to have fights then as to which language is mentioned first. But still, it's a form of a compromise.
But both start with an S.
Mr. Chairman, you see, at the end it boils down to something very simple. Alone is to be translated in 12 languages. Which language is being used? This is all about the fact that these languages are different. So it's either one or the other. It can't be both unless we make them so. So an interesting thing that I think I would also like to find out is, from a point of view of constitutional implementation, which language has been used as an official language there where the requirement of using an official language was involved. We know that the Constitution was translated in Northern Sotho rather than Sepedi. So that's one element. What about other laws which were translated? What about the laws of the province of Limpopo? I mean, I would assume that all those laws are routinely translated, if not adopted, in a language other than English. I mean, in KwaZulu-Natal, laws are adopted one time as official text, one time in Zulu and one time in English. So this is what we need to find out. And then we know the measure to which there is what Steve referred to as possession in the practice of the implementation of the Constitution.
Well, I think we should be agreed that the researcher here, Mr. Tano, has some work to do relating to, for instance, what Ambrosini has just said, as to what in practice is happening in Limpopo when it comes to legislation and other official documents. Which language are they using when they use Sesotho? Is it Sesotho Sa-Leboa or is it Sepedi? Because here some of the presenters said something like the language that is written is Sesotho Sa-Leboa, or rather his own dialect. It's not Sepedi. and yet it is referred to as Sipedi.
Yeah.
And yet when they speak Sipedi, they speak something different to what is written. So it's important, therefore, that we find some information and clarity as to the one that is written by the government in Limpopo. What is it? And secondly, in the question of the records, I think James Matthew says it's the committee, constitutional committee, team committee number six.
It's section six of the constitution, but I can't remember.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was team committee number
we're
six.
Speaking of working groups at the earlier round.
Uh-huh.
But no, it's simply section six of the constitution.
No. What I was saying is that the committee that was dealing with this part of the constitution.
Dr. Schumann was trying to express in the library. We can't remember.
No. The researcher said you will.
Mr. Dalman.
Yeah. You will find that information to the deliberations around the question, the section dealing with languages. What came out around this question of the papers?
And don't forget, it moved to various structures of the constitution, saying these times the relevant subcommittees should go to the whatever way.
No, just want to find out if there's some light that can be thrown as to what exactly was happening there. Why is it that while the interim constitution spoke of Northern Sotho, the final constitution speaks of Sipedi, and then the confusion. I think Mr. Ushiho did shed some light there, in that he said the interim constitution spoke of Northern Sotho, and then when the final constitution was to be finalized on this question of language, the chairman of the relevant board that was being consulted by the Constitutional Assembly insisted that the term Sipedi be used, but he, because of his own disposition, insisted that it be Sisutu, Salibua, or Northern Sotho. So that kind of the conversation that was taking place in the Constitutional Assembly might help a bit. Then the case of Queen Mujaji. If you can have a look at that as well, I think there are documents here that relate to that. Also, I think, as we've been saying all along, the parties must apply their mind to this because it's a political issue. When we're in Limpopo, the one group that thought that we might take one position was threatening to do something about elections, local government elections, that they might either disrupt them or not participate in the election. So we have to give political guidance, like somebody said at the end of the day, it has to be a political decision. But also, the question of us in Limpopo saying we're going to interact with them and actually inviting them for that kind of interaction, that it has not been done. What are we saying about that? Is it, because I know at the end of the day, no matter how many questions in fact we'll be asking them, the position will still be the same, and the decision will be left to us to take. Is it really necessary, therefore, that we invite them because of a word that we gave that they should come up here or what? And also this question of the provinces, I'm worried of opening this matter up by involving people from other provinces, because there are people who speak this language all over the country. But the reason, as I understand it, we concentrated on Limpopo is because that is the source of this language. Everybody else who is in some other province originates from Limpopo. Now, if we're going to open it for other provinces, it might be too cumbersome. But let's hear your views here on some of the issues I've not said you've concluded on.
Chair, you made it very clear at the end that we might not call them back. I think the fault did not lie with us for lack of engaging. You made it clear to the presenters, try and be short because there's limited time. And it was the presenters that took up all the time. So I think that it, we can consider whether it is necessary to have a future engagement. But as you say, where will it take the matter further? We're going to establish the facts now. The questions I've asked here is what I would have put there. What was the history? Look at the records. What happened? So I think you are relatively covered in regard as we've got the options. You made it clear you might recall them if it's necessary, but it might not happen. And I think you've made that clear. And that changes the position from the undertaking you gave earlier in the public hearings, which I don't think is a major problem. Just on the second issue, I think it's we need a lot of wisdom with the local government elections, but this matter's come for 15, 16 years. So is it an issue that needs finalisation before May? I don't think so.
Do it after.
And we need wisdom, and we just deliberate on it, and we take no final decision until the local government elections are passed. So no party can come and say, oh, you've taken this position, therefore we're going to disrupt the local government elections or something like that. We need to consider that. Maybe this isn't for record purposes, what we say now. I don't know, because it is being recorded, so we need to be careful. I just think we need to have wisdom. That was a sentiment that was expressed at a public meeting. We need to bear that in mind. And it's a complex process that needs a lot of deliberation. I don't see how it will be completed in the next 2 months.
All they will say after the elections, Steve, all they will say, those who will consider themselves as having lost, is that, oh, now you've got our vote, so you're deciding against us after the elections.
You won't please everyone, that's impossible.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think we have raised a lot of things, put them into a basket. But what is key is that let's have a plan on about this issue. All these things that we are raising, they need focus time. When do we do those things? But I will say, in terms of whether we call them or not, after all these processes that we are saying we need to engage them on, what we need to do is not to have this administration end without us reverting back to, without us taking a decision. And also, I'm saying that the 2014 must not end without us taking the decision. That's one. But also on this matter, as we will program it, saying not, we may not do this after 2 months, but let's time ourselves to say either by September we would have done all these things, which will include our organizations. If for instance, you say we're not going to, it's going to be cumbersome to go to Gauteng, the decision or the mandate from our organizations will cover some of us who will be tongue-lashed in terms of you are representing a province and there's this major decision that you're taking. Thank you. So, in terms of inviting them or not inviting them after this, I will feel strongly that after all these processes, let's relate in terms of what are the processes that we have followed and this is the decision that in Parliament we have taken. Thank you.
Indeed, we'll inform them. We should take the decision that we have taken. I think we are inclined towards the position that it's not really necessary for us to call them again. But let us do these consultations and the research that is necessary for us to take the matter forward. But we need to consider. I think this is something we've been saying informally. I think Andre here has actually said it in this meeting that why not simply include both words.
It's easier,
because these are interrelated. They are intertwined. You cannot take one out of the other. Of course, the other one is bigger. It's not as a suit.
More sensible.
It incorporates all of them. They are all agreed that even Sipedi is a dialect. But Sipedi, like in other language groupings, it has come out more prominent than others. In the Eastern Cape, is a good example. If we were to allow, for instance, a 12th language in this regard. You might have, I don't know how many other languages you would have to add. For the Eastern Cape alone, the Mampong, the Mapa, the Matsubi, and so on, who are all considered Xhosa speaking, but who have certain views about that idea itself. Just a wonder that they have not returned formally to Parliament for the recognition of their languages. So we need to be conscious of the possibility of others coming up. Because for now they are limited, I think, to a few, like sign language and Khoisan languages and so on. So I think it's our responsibility to contain this, because it's going to disintegrate even society now. Especially their traditional leaders here, they belong to clans. So if now we're going to say this and that clan must be given recognition in terms of this language, there will be no end. And as I say, we are trying to build a united nation, society that is cohesive. And so, so the language we have to ensure as we deliberate in our organization to be used to unite rather than to further fragment society.
I think you've got an accurate position that the researcher, with the help of the perhaps the legal advisors, the economic legal advisors, but even if Honorable Schmidt, Dean Schmidt, because you were there, help us to get those records, and then if, I think from those records we can be able to tell which way actually was the constitution leaning to, whether it's well anticipated. But the process is, I think, as Honorable Ngube says, we'll have a program that when are going to do what, and also make sure that, as the Honorable Chief has said, in course, that we don't split the communities, because as we're down in Limpopo, the situation was very explosive. And then as the management committee, I think we'll come up with a program of which the committee will endorse, and then from the work out from that program.
And at some point, I'm sure we will want to take the formal legal opinion. I think Andre averred to that. But maybe our whole parliamentary legal team, well, we have a special relationship with them, don't we? And they have now a permanently appointed head, and then with together with Ms. Gordon and Frankie Jenkins and all of the others. And they must sit down and do some serious thinking for us on this, as soon as we have, with Mr. Dono's help, all the base material.
Thank you, Honourable Members, for staying till long on a Friday, and I hope next time again when you consult your serious engagement, the members will set aside most of their engagements and try to attend to this committee. Can I just make comment? Honourable Members, the slip of a tongue, I'm used to call comrades, people comrades, that I think even the Parliament has taken serious of this committee now, because previously a lot of people, I think it used to be a committee where people come and say sort of distress. I think we should be serious how we take our way, because the Parliament is taking it now seriously. Though in our program of action, in another view, or in another stage, there's a proposal that perhaps this committee might be to be looking at the Chapter 9 Constitution, or might be actually be dissolved. There's some debate that are around, but the thing is that the Parliament is not taking it seriously, and since they think that it's doing its work properly, or it's addressing its work, its mandate properly, so can we also show the seriousness so that it can be taken seriously? With those few words, the meeting is adjourned. We are meeting again on the 18th.
Shop.
Thank you.
Shop.
You're in trouble, Mario's in trouble, and I know where you will both come. I'm going to have my retreat.